When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier Miller, sitting here with the wonderful Deanna King. It's good to see you, Dee. She fresh off the plane. I ain't seen her in a couple of days. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I'm glad to be here. We got a special episode today.
A special episode with another special guest. You know, we always say a special guest because all our guests are special and dope and amazing, all that good stuff. But we got another one with my guy, with my boy, man. We chop it up all the time. He's been on here before, but he's back because he done ran it up again, ran up a crazy bag, doing everything. I call him Madu P because he like Master P to me. He into everything. So it's my boy, Money Madu. I'm sure y'all know him. If y'all don't, y'all about to get familiar. So what's up, bro? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be back, you know, back to back, what they say, like Drizzy. And it's crazy because, you know, when I first came on the episode, it was more so on the Black Sea real estate.
Yeah.
Then ran it up on the, you know, e-commerce product, building your brand thing. So I'm excited for this episode.
Yeah, this is crazy, man. It's so much that didn't change. So we got to get into all that. But first I'll say, before we start, I want to go into our first sponsor. So this episode is sponsored by My Official Crypto Guide. That's at guide2crypto.com. This is things I've been in the crypto game for 4 years now. So I'm going over everything I learned. I'm going over coins that I think you should be investing in long term. This ain't no quick play. This is for long term investors. If you're trying to make long term money in the crypto market, this is your go to guide. Go to guide2crypto.com. I'm giving over about paying taxes, platforms, everything you need to get started with crypto. Once again, that's guide2crypto.com. And also, I want to say, if you're tuning into this, please like, rate, subscribe, and leave a comment on the channel. We greatly appreciate that. We're trying to run these numbers up crazy on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts. So please do all those things I just mentioned because we greatly appreciate it. So let's get into the show with my boy Madu, man. So last time we spoke, right? I think you were still at the gig, right? Last time you was on the pod.
I think so. Or I was getting close to the end.
Yeah,
you
was getting really now,
close to the
end. And now you gone. You've been full-time entrepreneur for how long now?
It's coming up 2 years.
2 years.
It was November 19 when it was officially over. And what is it now? Probably like 20 months.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. So what's that been like? Has it been everything you expected? Like what, that transition, how has it been?
It's been amazing and tough at the same time. Because the thing was, I already knew, I can't remember if I said it on the last episode, but by 30, I had to be out of the corporate world. I knew that at age 27, I had to figure out a way to get out. And so, you know, whenever it finally happened, I come out, you know, for the first, I'll say the first 2 months, I was completely in disarray. Mm-hmm. Like, even though, you know, I had the wherewithal and, you know, all the stuff that needed to get work done, mentally, I just had to almost detox myself from being in the corporate world. So those next 2 months after I was completely done with my job, man, I just detoxed and just let my body just do its thing. And then by February, I got back into it. And so the thing is, whenever I was leaving my job, I wanted to do it the right way where, you know, what you're doing on the outside covers the same amount of money that you had at your job. But it didn't work out that way. And part of the reason is, you know, you can't focus on too many things at one time. And so what happened was, once I'm outside the corp or no longer in the corporate world, I could focus on every other thing that I was doing and give more of a 100% focus on it. And, you know, this year, 2021, it finally started becoming fruitful. So very happy about it. It's been a pain, though.
But congratulations on that. I mean, that's a major step. A lot of people don't have the courage to take that step to leave their 9-to-5 and go chase their dreams. So definitely kudos to you for doing that. But something you mentioned is like you said you wanted to get things in order before you left the corporate world. And I think that's something very important, like, you know, that should be discussed because a lot of people don't really know what to do or how to prepare for that. So what were some of the things that you put in place before you made that leap? And like how soon beforehand did you start planning for that exit?
I think with me, you know, a lot of people say, if I could do it, anybody could do it. I'm not a believer in that. Well, how I did it is not going to be the traditional way or the normal way. A lot of people, if they do it like I did, they probably will not
succeed.
Yeah. But I have always been good with saving my money, being frugal. So whenever I did leave the corporate world, honestly, I had over a year and a half worth of savings ready to go so that, you know, I didn't, it wasn't something that, you know, 3 months before I went ahead and planned, hey, I need to start saving up this money. I already had the money and I didn't spend it on anything, even though shoot, since 2015, I've been wanting to buy a new car. Everybody around me has a new car.
Yep.
Itch kept itching, but I was able to stand off until pretty much yesterday.
Shout out, hey, congrats.
Appreciate it. But I would say this, I know a lot of people say, you know, I have about 6 months of reserves. I would say even more, but I guess people say 6 months if you're trying to get another job. But if you're trying to do, you know, your own business, you're probably going to need a little bit more, because when we talk about reserves, it's not just about where you live. I mean, if you are building your own company, some of that reserves has to go to marketing, purchasing a product, all that stuff. And so if you don't have the money for that, that savings dwindles quick. So I would almost say have a year's worth of reserves available. And then on top of that, you know, with a lot of the stuff that I had in real estate, like the real estate money, I never touched. All the rental income stayed in the same bucket and never used it. So as far as that goes, that was fine. Even beforehand, like me personally, whenever I had a job, I never liked my job. Even though I was getting paid well, I did not like my job. A lot of people can tolerate their job. So if you can tolerate your job, stay in it as long as you can. Exactly. And while you are making your strategic way out, because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's a headache. Your every day is like a new day. I mean, you have to start at zero every day. You know, your job every 2 weeks, you're getting paid. You know what I mean? So I would say, once again, saving probably like 12 months of savings or just reserves, and then just be strategic on how you want to leave. So if it's something where you're either trying to transition to a different job or starting your own brand, just be very strategic on how you want to leave.
I want to ask you this. So as far as like the reaction, though, because you will talk to a lot of people, specifically people in the corporate world that may be getting ready to leave, and their family, friends might be like, man, is you crazy? You stupid? You got this good job. So like, was that something that was going on with you? And if it was, like, how did you still get the boss to say, F it, I'm going to still do it anyway?
I think, once again, it's one of those things that me personally, I already made the commitment to myself. Myself, it didn't matter what my mom would love for me to stay. You know, you're an engineer. You know, right. Like you got your MBA. But at the end of the day, I was not happy, and it got to a point. 29, I had to do what makes me happy, and so that's what I ended up choosing, because as far as me doing things that makes me happy, I was responsible enough to at least be financially able to.
Walk away as
well. So I don't suggest, like, the people who just kind of like have no plan and just get out. That's more kudos. That's kudos to you if you actually succeed, because a lot of people, they don't succeed. So you need to have reserves. Like, finance is one of the biggest things that, you know, a lot of people don't like talking about it, but people need to talk about it. And that's why I wrote that book over there. But
shout out, plug the book, man.
Yeah, 10 Reasons Why You're Living Senseless, personal finance book. Gives you all the topics about where you're spending money and how you can do better.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But that's like a, what's the word? Like a controversial. When you tell people they shouldn't leave until they have money saved, 12 months of expenses. Like that's controversial. And a lot of people say, what? Cause people, like I've seen this on Twitter before. They'll say, man, you should just leave. Like if you're not in love with it, just leave. Cause they'll see stories of somebody leaving, not having any money, 3 months later, becoming a millionaire. And they kind of think like, oh, it is. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's possible, but that's an anomaly. That's extremely rare.
It's extremely rare. And then on top of that, if you're talking about, oh, just leaving, most of those people that have those jobs don't have good jobs. It's like they jobs that pay very well. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, it's easier for you just to leave because you might be getting paid $10 an hour. That's not enough.
Well, yeah. No, that's real.
So something I want to get you to dive into a little more is you said you did a detox after you left the corporate world. And I know when I left the military, it was weird because now it's like I'm not waking up when no one tells me to wake up. I'm planning my own schedule. I'm picking out what I do for the day. And I got to make sure everything that I do is productive and efficient and helping me achieve my goals. So for you, what did your detox look like and why did you think that was necessary? Because I think it's a super mindset shift that needs to happen. And the biggest thing being an entrepreneur is being disciplined. So can you go into that?
Yeah, as far as the detox, it actually happened naturally. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, I just need a detox. Like I just started realizing, because it was one of those things. I would get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I'll work out before work. I'll go to work for 10 hours. After work, I go work out. After I work out or hoop, after that, I'm working on all this other stuff that I've been doing. And then, 3 o'clock in the morning, go to bed, wake back up at five, you know what I mean? So in that aspect, I kind of already had my time about how everything kind of like figured out. But then when I no longer had to wake up at five, I'm waking up whenever my body told me to wake up, mm-hmm. which is weird. You know what I mean? Like waking up without having an alarm, setting your alarm, it just does something to your body. It's weird when I don't know if anybody else experienced that, but your body, when you don't have to wake up with an alarm, it just, you get a little bit more rest. And so with that detox, I'm grateful for it. During the time though, I felt it was very stressful because you don't know what's going on. Like I said, I'm a very motivated, dedicated, meticulous person, and I work off of structure. And for me not to be structured in a sense during that time frame was very, like something just felt off, but mm-hmm. it was a very necessary thing that happened during that 2 month time frame that allowed me to finally snap and say, okay, let's start this thing back up again. And it wasn't like I wasn't working. I was still working, but it just wasn't the same. My mindset was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a millionaire mindset. So
I want to go into Limitless, because this is something that, like seeing this from afar, this is crazy to me. Cause like, so first, what made you start that? Cause you in so many things, like you were author in real estate, got your own athletic wear. So like, what made you want to get into that lane? How did that even take place?
You know, it was crazy. So another business I have, Zion Beer Care.
Shout out to that. Yeah.
So whenever I released these hair vitamin gummies, and so whenever we released that, we started running Facebook ads for it. And with the Facebook ads, even though it wasn't doing the best at the time, we'll run it for a couple of days and we'll be getting sales. And that was the first time that I was able to consistently get maybe like two or three sales a day. And I was like, okay, Facebook ads works for a product that's a consumable. When I would run Facebook ads for my athletic wear, people needed to see that thing 10 times before even thinking about buying it, or unless they see it on someone that they know. So that kind of like sparked something in my head. It's like, okay, with Phoenix, I need to bring in consumables with ads. And so I switched over one of the manufacturers that I was able to find. They had a lot of stuff. So, we talk about pre-workout, post-workout, nootropics, turmeric, multivitamins, and things of that nature. I was like, perfect, let me go ahead and release these. And what was crazy was ads isn't even how any of this blew up.
I can tell, word of mouth.
And ads wasn't even how it blew up. It was literally word of mouth. So I launched this Black Friday last year.
Okay.
November time frame is when I launched it last year. And I made my first, from that, I made my first 5K month from Phoenix. And so I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then, so you can, you know, with Twitter, a lot of word of mouth. And then Ari, who was on the episode
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. She started talking about it, and it was like the perfect storm for me because, one, this other company that she used to use, they stopped selling nootropics. And so Minds worked for her, and, you know, Ari has a big audience. People trust what she says.
Yep.
And so when she said that she took it, she purchased it. I didn't even send it to her. She purchased it on her own, used it, and then started promoting it. And so when some of the sales started coming in from that, I was like, hey, Ari, I might need to make you in the, you know, sponsor you a little bit for this. And so, you know, the word of mouth from that, it just generated a buzz that, you know, Ari started taking it, B started taking it, and it just, a lot of people just started like, oh man, what is this? And so from December to January, just off of buzz, I was running a lot of flash sales. I was able to make a good amount of money. Like, I think I got close to like 20,000. And so March comes around and it just dips. Like, I'm down to like 6,000. I'm talking real numbers now. I went from 20,000 to 6,000. I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? And so it was 6,000 March, 6,000. No. So beginning of April, it started going 6,000. Then 2 weeks into it, the buzz came back again. Because what happened was a lot of people who are taking the supplements, they started getting the effects.
The results.
And they started giving their reviews. And so what happened was all these reviews start coming in. And now all of a sudden, a lot of people are like, what's going on? What's Limitless Focus?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing, you know, people are Googling it. You type it in Google right now, Limitless Focus. Phoenix is the number one. You know what I'm saying? So people are looking on Amazon for it and all this stuff. And so I said, okay, let me go ahead and put this on Amazon. And then what I did was, me as a businessman, I want your data. I don't want Jeff Bezos having your data.
Exactly.
So what I did was do Shopify on my account. I have Limitless Focus at $42. But if you want to go with Amazon, I mean, I understand people trust Amazon, but if you want to go through Amazon, on Amazon right now, you have to buy it at $60. So it's a win-win situation because people are still buying it on Amazon at $60. Mm-hmm. So I know at any point I could raise my Limitless Focus on my website to $60. But for now, just for the data is supporting it, I'm gonna leave it at $42. But with that, like, just so much support came from it. You know, obviously it doesn't work for everybody. Like, it's right. A hit or miss. But like, for the majority of people that used it and loved it, like, I think some people, when it doesn't work, they're thinking that it's supposed to be some kind of energy kick.
Yeah.
It's not an energy kick. It's just for focus. But with that, just there's just so many positive reviews. And a lot of people don't know that I was even behind it. You know what I mean? A lot of people still don't know I'm behind it. So with that, just a lot of organic reviews, I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and collect as much reviews as I can. Let me go ahead and create like a landing page so that organic is beautiful. Organic is amazing, but organic isn't always going to be forever.
Right.
So what I started doing this month is hiring a Facebook ad agency to go ahead and try to get to a point where I'm getting 20, 30 and start scaling $1,000 months consistently. That way I don't always have to rely on the organic. Like I said, organic's great. Like, yeah, I was able to keep most of that spread. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with the ads, that starts cutting to your spread and all that stuff. But I've been very, very grateful for it. And I finally decided to spoil myself after, you know, hitting a 50K month in May. And, November to April, I had 6K, or 100K in 6 months. And then back that up with the 50K month. You know what I mean?
So it's just going up.
So I was just like very, very, very grateful that a lot of people were able to support me. And just been riding with that continuously. No,
it's been crazy. Like, seeing it online, like, you literally still, like, set the internet on fire. Like, I see people posting all the time. I took a Limitless. Like, man, I've been going hard. I've been going crazy. I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like, when do this, like, word of mouth, they say it's the most powerful marketing tool.
Absolutely.
But I want to ask you this, though, because something you said earlier, that you said, like, you had to run the ad, like, 7 times before you got a buy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so interesting because I don't think people know, like, I seen like a statistic or something like that. said like the average person doesn't purchase a product until they see it like 10 times or something like that. So like that's something that the listeners, because I think, could take gain from, because they might be running ads and be like, man, I did it 4 or 5 times and it ain't working.
Facebook ad is hard. It's hard. It's hard anyways. But when you pair that with apparel, clothing industry, it's 10 times harder. Like, apparel industry is one of the hardest industries to get in and be successful in. Like, unless you would literally have friends that are celebrities, influencers, it's going to be hard to launch your stuff and do really, really well. So, like I said, with clothing, you have to have it in people's hands that are very popular. That or the word of mouth aspect. And one way to get the word of mouth aspect is kind of like putting it in the right hands and then having a good product. Because I'll tell you right now, I appreciate you wearing it in the last episode with the Phoenix clothing. Mm-hmm. My clothing, like for me, I make sure that my clothing is A1, perfect quality. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, a lot of people don't know that. I mean, they see it, but until they're able to fit, touch it or whatever the case is, they're just not going to buy it. So until they see it on someone like Zig, that's when they're going to be able to purchase it, because they saw it on him. If I just have an ad running with just some normal person they don't really know, it's going to take them 10 times, 20 times for them to go. And at that point, I spent $60 trying to convert them, $100 trying to convert them. That's too much money.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money you spend.
I'm losing money.
But like you said, though, like all your products is A1. Like, it ain't no Hanes Fruit of the Loom type shit. It's like his own fabrics, his own everything. So, like, what's that process? Like, how you even get to that point? Because a lot of people, they want to get in the industry, but they don't know how to get manufacturers to have their own quality, where it's just like A1 like that.
Yeah, I kind of talk about it in my course, Product to Profits. GalaxyUniversity.com. But in general, like, when you're talking about manufacturers, if you want to do it the cheapest way, you're probably going to want to go overseas. So looking at a site like Alibaba or AliExpress, and then just doing what's called OME, which is pretty much custom-made product. So what you want to do is order a sample. And obviously, the sample is going to be a little bit expensive, but you order it, make sure the quality is good, and make sure they kind of like have it tailored to what you're looking for. And if it's to what you want, then go ahead and bulk order it. One of the things that I would recommend when you do bulk order, this is just from my experience, if you're new, bulk order enough to give to a couple of your friends so you can have a photo shoot. Because I think of some people, they bulk order some, and then they think they're just going to be able to sell it without any real traction or real marketing. And then it kind of like sits there. So before you even launch it, have a couple of your friends, either one, wear it, and then just kind of like hopefully talk about it, because they're your friends. They should be able to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. So have them wear it, have them talk about it maybe like a week before launch, and then you will have a much more successful launch. Because like for me, I made the mistake where I bulk ordered $10,000 worth of items, and I was sitting on that thing for over a year. Because I wasn't marketing right. And so, like I said, the gym I just said before, if you can have certain types of people wearing your stuff and promoting it and help you promote it while you have a date, that will help you have a much more successful launch in the future.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree. You want something?
You go first.
I was going to say, so what do you think about this? This is really causing my mind, because I always tell people, like, in this age, we're in this digital age, social media, I'm like, this is like the great equalizer. Yeah. Just because you could be a lot of people. I know I got a lot of friends, they didn't got jobs no more, and they young,
right?
And they eating just from having like social media presences, brands and products. So like, what do you agree? Like, it's like an equalizer, like an even playing field for a lot of people if they could take advantage of the access and shit we have right now?
I wouldn't say even or equal, because I don't think anything is even or equal.
Right.
But it definitely, the barrier to entry is now better for people who wouldn't have had the opportunity in the past. Like, you weren't rich or you don't come from a rich family.
Right.
Now you have a chance to actually make some money, because like I said, you could do everything from your home. You don't have to get a SBA loan to get a storefront. People in the past had to do that. Now you do everything through Shopify. Exactly. You know, people were doing stuff through drop shipping. I think that's kind of dead now, just with all the stuff going on overseas. But you could do everything from your computer. You could sell courses. Like, people weren't thinking about stuff like this back in the day. But with the internet, you do see a shift happening. Like, I'll be the first to tell you, like, I had the good degrees, you know what I mean? And I will tell you right now, as far as my kids, I hope they don't have to go to college or anything like that, because all the how the world is shifting, you can still get the education without having to spend all this money going to college. Mm-hmm. And so my thing, as far as, you know, whenever the time comes, is like making sure my kids know how to make money. It doesn't have to be in whatever I'm doing, but just how to do it is something that I think is very important. So barrier of entry is definitely lower for people to get in the online space.
I agree 100%. And something I wanted to ask you, because I was looking at your Instagram, and if I'm not mistaken, you said you had the idea for Phoenix back in 2018. And something we talked about not too long ago, we were talking about how important it is to invest money back into your business. But I think it's just as important to invest time back in your business. And I think a lot of people want this like popcorn success where things happen overnight. But this is years in the making where, like you said, you were only seeing like 5K, 6K months. And now you're at a point where you got 50K months and things like that. So what kept you motivated and dedicated over all these years to keep going so hard with Phoenix, even though the success wasn't always there in the beginning?
I think with me, I always know that whatever I have, like, I know that I could give my 100% or my all. And so with Phoenix, even though it didn't happen as quickly as I wanted to, I stay consistent with it, just knowing that some way, somehow, something's going to happen. And, you know, just to be the wherewithal or the mindset to be able to pivot when it's necessary. Like, I was just an apparel company. Right. I still am an apparel company. But now that the supplements came in and blew everything up, now I have the means to reinvest back into products. Now I can bring it back. Now, you know, the people like, you know, Gymshark or Alpha or things like that, I can start creeping up to going into that level and still have my supplements there, because the supplements can keep me consistent. But I still like seeing people in Phoenix. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, just being able to pivot when it's possible. And once again, when I did have that job, me having it, like, a lot of that money was just money. It wasn't like Phoenix generated that money. I put my own money into that. And like I said, to do the samplings, to do the bulk orders, the marketing, all of that stuff. That a lot of that money came from the 9-to-5 job. So once again, it goes back to finances, making sure you have the correct finances. Trying to do everything just off the whim and off of luck is not the right approach.
No, that's a fact.
I got one more question for you. So this is about like the product offering lineup. So we all know like Limitless is what's really taking off and was killing it and doing numbers, but you do have other supplements and vitamins for your product offerings. Have you ever considered like maybe it's too many or just dropping some and going in on one? Or do you think it's important to have, you know, a versatile product offering?
So two-part answer for people who are listening. If you're starting off brand new with a product or whatever it is, start with one product. One, maybe two products. My problem was when I started Phoenix, I started with like six products. I had my joggers, I had the shirt, I had
hoodie.
Hoodie. I had all those. I ordered all that stuff. I didn't know what was actually going to work. What I should have did was like just order the joggers, let that sell out. Okay, the market likes the joggers. That way I didn't waste all that money with sitting inventory with the hoodies and all that stuff. And then from there, you could use some of the profit from that clothing to reinvest, buy more products and things of that nature. With the supplements now, how I have it set up with my manufacturer, I don't have to worry about am I offering too many products right now, because even though I can still have it available, I just don't push a lot of marketing toward the other ones just yet, just because Limitless is still the one that everybody cares about. I want other people to try other stuff. When people try the other stuff, they love it. You know, with the apple cider vinegar gummies, honestly, in complete honesty, whenever I started the supplements, I thought the apple cider vinegar gummies was going to be the one that pops off. Because, you know, I see companies like Goalie. You look at their thing and it's like, man, these dudes are making multi-millions. Selling apple cider vinegar gummies. They're on the Ellen show, you know, all this stuff. So I'm like, I'm gonna just ride their coattail. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm thinking that's gonna work. And of all the products, it was Limitless. The nootropics, Limitless is what took off. And the blessing of it all is with Limitless, the margins are, you know, are better than the other products that I have. Mm-hmm. So like it actually ended up working into my favor in that aspect.
Mm. So because we didn't discuss this yet. So for the people that's listening, it's their first time hearing a Limitless. Mm. What is a Limitless pill?
So a lot of people, you know, it's called nootropics. A lot of people don't understand what nootropics are. So the easiest way to kind of explain it is almost like legal Adderall. So what it helps you do is help you focus. So if you take two Limitless pills, what you want to do is you want to immediately start on your task. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be 2 hours later, and you're like, oh, I finished all this stuff. And like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people, sometimes they take the Limitless pills and they start playing video games, and now they just wasted all that focus on something else. So like, say if you're in a funk, you know, you have brain fog, Limitless focus helps cut through that and get you clarity again. And so, you know, one of the things I recommend people doing is like brain dumps. And one of the things I actually plan to launch next week is the Limitless Focus Group. And so with that, pretty much it's going to be a Discord community. And how I'm going to have it set up, at least initially, is, you know, once or twice a month, probably on Sundays, have a session where everybody can come in. If you're an entrepreneur, a high performer, whatever it is, the 10% of the world, 1% of the world, come in and have that like a lo-fi music just playing in the background, and you just come in and just either plan your week ahead or just dump everything out your mind to start focusing. Because a lot of things people don't understand about brain dumping, it gives you clarity. Mm-hmm. It frees your mind, because if you're like me, if you don't write stuff down, you have so much stuff going through your head and you're going to start forgetting. So I used to have great memory. Not anymore, but all this stuff I got going on, I have no good memory. So now I created a panda planner. Like, if you know,
God, damn. You know
what I'm saying? He'll go to for everything.
So like, you know, one of the, and that, like I said, it kind of goes back, serial entrepreneur. Like, if it's something that I have an idea, I'm going to create it. I'm going to figure out a way to create it. It's my biggest thing is the marketing aspect of getting everybody else on board. Because like I said, it's not, I don't just put stuff out there just to put stuff out there. Everything is quality. Mm-hmm. So like I said, once I become bigger, a lot of these other stuff will start popping up just like Limitless did.
But I want to ask you this, because this is something that people always ask me. They say, especially since you have so many businesses, mm-hmm. you have a million businesses, you're winning, you know what I'm saying? And you single. So like, how are you able to maintain, stay focused and discipline? Everybody, how you able to stay focused and discipline all these tasks where you're not like losing sight, losing track of things?
Absolutely. So once again, one of the biggest things, so shout out to Tirza. So I hired her as an accountability coach. I think it was in 2019.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she introduced me to the Panda Planner. And with that, that allowed me to write things down in a certain type of way. Because I would write some stuff down at times, but I would write everything down in that Panda Planner, and I did it for 3 months straight. And so when you're able to do that, for one, you're able to see the wins that you're doing every single day. Every single week, you're able to see all the wins that you've been able to have. So even, whether it's small, whether it's big, you're able to see it. And then, so now you're focused. Now you know what you're going to have to do for Tuesday. You know what you have to do Friday. You know what you have to do at all these times. And then on top of that, at the end of the day, now you are, you know, this successful person. Mm-hmm. So how did you do it?
Here's the data. You. Blueprint.
Here's the data. Everything that I did is in these journals. And so, like, you pretty much writing your autobiography. You're not, no one's telling your story. You told your story because you show what you did every single day. So being able to write down what you need to do is one of the biggest things, like, to help you focus. Because, like, a lot of people just leave things up to a whim, or they just feel like so many things are against them. But you can't feel that way if you're writing it down and you're seeing the wins. Because even small wins that you have, it's like a little endorphin that happens. Like, oh, man, it's good. And you want to keep getting that. So you keep accomplishing more things. So that's one way to be focused. And as far as like the women and stuff, like, you just, I don't have to say no comment.
I ain't mad at it. But I want to say a shout out to Tirza, though. Yeah. She put us on to the Panda Planners, too. And that was extremely helpful. She put us on to those. Yeah. That shit is super helpful.
I remixed it.
And it's simple, too. Like, that's a, like, I think a lot of times people look for these big-ass secrets, these big-ass ideas, and something that's going to, a tip they're going to get that's going to be, like, transforming. But all this shit really is, like, simple for real. You just have to take action and do it consistently. Just keep doing it.
Yeah, I always say that people know what they need to do to become successful. They just don't want to do it.
Exactly. That's a fact. They don't.
They don't want to do it, or they feel like something's stopping them from accomplishing that. Because it could be something where you might be the person that can help me. I ask you to help me. You might say, no, I can't do it right now. And some people's like, oh, man, I guess it ain't meant to be. What you're supposed to do is you say no. Okay, I'm going to still do it. And then later down the line, you see that's working. And it's like, oh, let me, you know, maybe I can help here now. If I want to, yeah, I can let you in. If not, it's what it is. But now it could become a collaboration because he now sees the value that you'll be able to put in. If you're not bringing in any value to him in the beginning,
that's a fact.
He's supposed to see the value in you when you barely saw the value in yourself.
That's a fact.
That's
a fact. People don't want to help you until they see you trying to help yourself. And that's something like, even when we start this podcast, the first probably like 5 or 10 episodes was just me and her. Mm-hmm. Because I knew asking people, especially accomplished people, why the hell would I come on your platform? You don't have no episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let me build this traction. I've been helping myself. I'm building myself up. Now people want to come on. They see mm-hmm. the value in. They see the value in me. They say, all right, let me help. I got this brand now. I can help him out a little bit. So that's some real shit. But let me ask you this, though, because this conversation, me and my brothers, we was having a car before we got here. We talked about, like, imposter syndrome and people, like, sabotaging themselves. My little brother, he was like, you really think that's a real thing, people sabotaging themselves? And I'm like, I know it's a real thing. What you think about it?
I definitely believe people sabotage themselves. And it's crazy because I'm the person that wouldn't do it. So if I'm in my own bubble, I'm like, why can't you do this? Why can't you just break through whatever it is your struggle is and just make it happen?
Right.
A lot of people just can't do it, either because they don't have the exposure. They never were able to see it from someone else. And so they just kind of like, oh, man, it's just not meant to be. So I think it kind of like goes back into like partially. I think for some people it's innate, like it just happens. Like, for example, LeBron ain't supposed to be doing what he's doing. Great businessman, helping everybody out, all this stuff. But I think with LeBron, it's something innate, because if you're going based off his upbringing, he shouldn't be anything.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But right. I think with some people, they don't have that innate sense that tells them, hey, you need to, whatever it is, because they're obviously, everybody goes through struggles. Everybody has something that they're dealing with. But how many of us are actually going to push past that? A lot of people don't push past that or push back. They get one step back and then just like, I quit. You have to push through that. So,
man, would you say those are some of, like, let me ask you this. What are some of the biggest, let's say three lessons you've learned so far as an entrepreneur that you know that could be beneficial to somebody that's thinking about it, mm-hmm. or they're on the ground level right now getting ready to get into this crazy shit? Because it's crazy.
Yeah. If you are wanting to become an entrepreneur, you need to understand, for one, you need to be able to control your own schedule. Like, so it doesn't matter if someone's bugging you, are you going to make sure that you're getting whatever the work is done? Are you doing the research? Are you finding what product you want to sell? Are you creating the service package that people want to see? Because the thing is, a lot of people with jobs, they talk about, oh, I want to become an entrepreneur, but in all honesty, they just need someone that's almost, in a sense, micromanaging them. Mm-hmm. They need that schedule of someone telling them what's going on. So if you can't be a self-starter, it's going to be hard to become an entrepreneur. It's going to become like, and being an entrepreneur isn't, I mean, it looks nice, especially when you become successful, but in the beginning, it sucks. Like, you might as well just make your money at your job and become an investor.
What's crazy is a lot of people, you'll get people that say, you know, I'm an entrepreneur because I was a terrible employee. I got fired from all my jobs. And in my opinion, I have the mindset, like, to be a great leader, you have to be a great follower. So if you can't be at least a good employee, I don't see you, for the most people, 9 times out of 10, odds are you're not going to be a good entrepreneur. because you have to have some kind of structure to be an entrepreneur. And if you can't have structure where you have a job mm-hmm. and you be on time to things, right. do what you need to do, right. how the hell are you going to do that on your own?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't see it happening.
I feel like when it comes to the 9 times out of 10, if you yeah. are a terrible employee, I feel like I was a terrible employee. not because I wasn't doing good work, but just because my mentality was I never liked any of the jobs I was doing.
Me too.
And so like I was a terrible employee, but at the end of the day, at work, I was still working on Phoenix. I was still working on Black Seed. I was still working on these other things that I was testing out. So while I was a terrible employee, that did not stop me from doing what I wanted to do. Because one of the things, I'll tell you this, when I was working, one of the things I hated was it'll be a beautiful day outside. I'm in a cubicle stuck middle of the day. You see people walking around. I'm like, I can't walk outside and just work. And now I'm able to do it. So entrepreneurship is not faint for the heart. You know, one of the things I never really realized until I was on another podcast is my mom was an entrepreneur. She owns her own small home healthcare business
wow.
since 2008. And she's been running it up. And I was like, I just thought about it the other day. I'm pretty sure, like, I know she's made millions, but she ain't telling. But like, even though I never spoke to my mama about business, ever. I never asked her about any of that stuff, but I just think just me seeing that kind of like help ingrain some of the things going in.
You know, they say demonstration speaks louder than conversation. Absolutely. And mm-hmm. you had a great demonstration, you know what I'm saying? She started in the middle of a recession.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
And it was crazy. She was making a lot of money doing that stuff too. Yeah. My first car completely paid off. I was like, wait, how'd you do this? Okay.
She ain't even saying nothing. Mama cold. She ain't right. just running right. it up. That's crazy.
But before I go into my next question for you, we're going to get into our second sponsor for today's episode. So if you guys don't know already, we mentioned it plenty of times before. The Keys to Podcasting course is getting ready to drop any day now on August 1st. It is coming soon, but right now we do have it on pre-sale for $249.99. You guys can go ahead and cop that course. You're going to learn the fundamentals of podcasting, how to find your niche, building a loyal audience base, of course, how to make money as a podcaster, right. complex interview tactics, scaling your podcast, and all that good stuff. So guys, make sure you go to www.keystopodcasting.com. Go on there, get the pre-sale now before the official course drops on August 1st.
August 1st, price going up. So if you want it, you better get it now.
Absolutely. Yep. So going into something else I've seen you say on social media, you said you need to package your brain and sell it. And I thought that was a very interesting statement, and I think that could mean several different things.
I love it.
But from the e-commerce king himself, can you go ahead and break that down and let us know what you meant by that?
So with packaging your brain, I actually got that mentality from Mr. Shadid on Twitter.
Okay, yep.
You know, he's one of the guys that, you know, we talk about, if you're talking about doing consulting and stuff, you need to charge. He actually still does free consultations. Why? I don't know, but he still actually does. But, you know, from the free consultation, it leads to you paying, you mm-hmm. know, for consultations going down and forward. And so when we're talking about packaging your brain, everybody in this world does something at a elite level. And so, you know, you guys are in podcasting at an elite level, right? And so you now what y'all were able to do, because you have the experience, you have the accolades to back it up, you can package your brain and all the experience mm-hmm. and now sell it. So now podcasting, you getting money from YouTube, you getting money from Anchor, you getting money. Now you're getting sponsors. Money from courses, yep. sponsors. Yep. So what packaging your brain is that, because the thing is, there's thousands of people who are podcasting now, but they want to learn it from you because they can relate from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like your brother, right? Like he's a great producer, right? And so with that, rapper too. But the thing is, like, say like people are coming up to him, they want to learn something specifically from you. How do I write certain type of lyrics? How do I do this? They want to hear that from you. They don't want to hear that from Joe Smo.
How do I get on podcast intro?
Exactly. And so what it is like people will kind of like think that they don't have anything that they can say. Mm-hmm. You can go on YouTube right now and find millions of the same videos on a certain topic, but it's because it's from a different person. it goes different. Mm. How many people sell nootropics, but now people talk about limitless focus because, you know, obviously partially because of word of mouth, but it's just like you just got to package your brain. Like everybody has, because the thing is, it doesn't have to go into products. It goes into what you know. And people just, like I said, they go with who they relate, who they kind of like idolize, who they believe in, and that person can be you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you talking some shit, bro. I love this. And this, like, I think I like this episode so much just because each last time, was that 2019 when we had you on?
Probably.
It had to be 2019. So. But you were such in a different, like, space. Mm-hmm. You were still at the gig. You were still, like, mm-hmm. You still have ventures that you want to do. And now to see, like you said, how the 50K month last, like, man, consistency, you know what I'm saying? Over $6 cut.
Right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, but, nah, that's major for real. Like, that's some big shit, bro. To just from be in the corporate world and lead it, like, man, I want to say congrats to you because that's not easy to do. And there's millions and millions of people out here that want to duplicate that's been trying, but they can't figure it out.
Ain't no such thing as overnight success.
Man.
That's 100%. I know a lot of people might have just found out about me and the thing that happened. Nah, man. I've been doing this for years before even Phoenix was started. You know how many e-commerce stores I started up and launched and nothing has happened? I started up a snorkel, face mask snorkel business. And my dumb ass, I ran an ad on Baller Alert. Black people don't swim like that.
Why do you think?
$600 I spent on an ad. I didn't get one return back. But that's a learning experience.
But failures is necessary. Absolutely. Failures is 100% necessary because you need to, like, that's going to show you the role now. Like, if you're not failing, that means you're not trying, you're not doing enough.
Right.
Because ain't no way you're hitting 100% right. on every fucking thing.
There was a video I saw. I can't remember her name. But she was saying that, at dinner every night, her dad would ask her and her siblings, what did you fail at today?
Yeah, I seen that.
What did you fail at today? I was like, that's real stuff. I need to implement that. Because the thing is, if you failed, that means you're trying something. And eventually, guess what? You go succeed.
It's a lesson in it.
Absolutely.
Man, go ahead.
I wanted you to talk about, so you said you ran an ad on Baller.
Right? he said,
people don't circle like that. Look, so I think that's real important because you said you didn't get any traction from it. It didn't get you nothing. And I think that's why it's key to know your audience. Mm-hmm. And if you knew your audience.
You know what's crazy? I knew that wasn't my audience. I was like, man, I'll get at least 2 sales.
And
you know what's crazy? I did get people in the store. They just didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had people in the comments, don't he know black people don't swim? Or don't they know black people don't swim? And this and that. I was like, man, it hurt. But like I said, it was a learning experience. Mm-hmm. Built another store. Now I got Phoenix going. Now mm-hmm. I got, you know what I'm saying? So.
But going into that, though, because you said, like, you know, people was in the comments and some of the things they were saying, I was like, all right, you don't really want to hear stuff like that. But that's a big thing, like, in the social media era where, I mean, we running our businesses off social media, and now you got real-time feedback from people.
Absolutely.
And they posting whatever they want to post. Mm-hmm. They saying all types of crazy stuff and critiquing your business. So, like, how do you deal with that and, like, just having, like, so many different voices coming at you and, you know, at your business?
You just got to learn how to decipher or filter through the noise. So, for me, I know pretty much what my plan of attack is. Now, I will welcome feedback if I ask for it. I don't like unsolicited feedback, but I'll welcome feedback if I ask for it. And then from there, I'll make my final decision. Now, when it comes to things like, for example, the comments in the comments section, you just kind of like have to take things as they are. So some people, you know, what they say is true. Some people, they're just trolling. And so you can't be emotional about it. It will. The people will say hurtful things. They said six stones to break my bones. Words hurt. But you just got to filter through. Don't take everything to heart. And the things that make sense, implement that in the comments. Because people will say hurtful things, but sometimes it hurts. And then when you think about it, it's like, man, yeah, I can implement this. There's so many times I work with so many people that I'm like, I don't want to do this. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. And then I'm just like, you know, after a couple minutes, like, you know, I need to go ahead and implement this. So it's like, be open to feedback from people who've done what you're doing. Don't be getting feedback from people who've never done it. I'm not gonna ask you about rapping. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna ask certain people about certain things that they never done, because a lot of people, what would happen is they'll talk about things that they never done and then force you to change your trajectory of something that that's you working. Were probably in the right path, but because you ask someone that doesn't know anything about it or would have never done it themselves, they just completely shifted your mindset out of, mm-hmm. out of what you needed to do. So that's why I hate kind of like unsolicited advice.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is more important when building a business, capital or the network?
That's a good one.
Capital. And why I say that is because a lot of people can't, they don't understand networking yet.
So what do you mean by that?
So to network, right, you have, for the most part, you have to be social. Mm-hmm. A lot of people aren't social. They're introverts, kind of like me. So, like, for me, it's like, I have to know you.
You wasn't like this when I first met you.
No, like, when I know you, then you see this extra guy. Like, mm-hmm. if I don't know you, I'm in the back, I'm quiet, I'm observing what's going on. So a lot of people, what can happen is if you have the capital, you can get the network. You can hire the influencers to promote for you. You can hire a team to do the things that you don't like to do. And then that leads into the networking. Now, if you're an extrovert, networking will be key for you because you can immediately start up off the ground and you don't have to have as much capital. But capital is always king, especially if you know what to do with it. So I say capital first, especially if you're an introvert.
Wow. So let's say somebody – I like doing scenarios. So let's say somebody – that's in a similar position that you was in a couple of years ago. They may have to be at the gig that they don't like. They want to go into entrepreneurship or business. They want to find ways to build wealth. Or somebody that's starting as ground zero that's watching this, listening to this right now. What's some of the, let's say, three key things that they could take action on right now to help them elevate their situation?
Again, making sure you save. Two, don't be afraid to try new things. If something hasn't worked just yet, keep trying new things. I'm the king of spaghetti on the wall. How many products do I have out right now? A lot of people don't know about half of the products that I have out, but it's one of those things where it's going to be at right place, right time. I have it available. Or if you ask me about it, I can tell you I have it. You know what I mean? Like, how many times during this episode we've talked about something that's completely unrelated to whatever, and then I thought, oh, I have that. You know what I mean? Just keep trying. Provide as best quality product and continuously market. I feel like I'm not that good at marketing, but marketing is really one of the key things. You can't just expect to have a product out and people just going to come ahead and come out of nowhere and support you and buy it. Market. You can start off with your friends and family, but from there, take the proceeds and get into either influencer ads or like things like Facebook ads, Google ads, or things of that nature.
Do you think you need to be an expert in something to monetize it, to sell it?
I think you should know what you're doing at a high level. And it depends on certain things. So if you're trying to monetize something to sell, how are you doing it? Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I do this well and I can show you on YouTube. YouTube's free, you can check it out. But if you're selling something that you don't, like, you just learned about a week or a month ago, just because you might have got a lucky month or day or whatever the case is, and you just scamming. You pretty much just scamming. So like you're misguiding people, because what's going on is you truly don't understand what you did to make things happen, in all honesty. And so you should know, like, I guess when it gets to a point where you know what you're doing, you're for one making a lot of money in it yourself. And then it's like, okay, let me go ahead and show people how to do it, and just kind of like go from there. Like for me, like for example, my brand building course, whenever I started that, when it comes from A to Z, as far as like starting up the brand, I've started, even though I didn't do crazy numbers, to start it up, to get it to a place where you can start making money, I could do that all day. That's no problem. Like, that's something that comes easy for me. Like I said, for me, I just had to learn how to market it to the right people, or partner up with someone who knows how to market so it could get out on a more broader scale. But if I were just saying, like, I could, back then, I could guarantee you 50K months, and I'll be lying. Yeah. Nah, but if you're trying to, like, you know, you have a product that you plan to sell, you don't know what website to list it on or where to find it and stuff like that, like, my course is going to tell you exactly where you go. And so with courses, you know, if they're good, what happens is, you know, a lot of stuff you could probably find in different places, but it's all packaged in one place. So that everything you need to know is in one place. And so that's kind of like the courses that I do sell. I have it set up in that situation.
And where can I get that?
BlackSeaUniversity.com. Every course that I do have, it will be on BlackSeaUniversity.com. Okay. So the brand building course, I have if you want to buy your first rental property, I have that course in there. We ain't talking about real estate this time, but I'm still in it.
You're still in real estate.
So just any course that I do have, it's on BlackSeaUniversity.com.
So let me ask you this, Madhu. So with all this success and all this growth over these last few years, you know, you're doing a lot of great things. What's next? Like, what do the next 5 to 10 years look like for you in Phoenix?
We're here. That was my question.
Yeah. So, obviously continuing to grow the things that I do have, being able to focus. So one of the things I learned this year, just focusing, because, you know, you see how I am. I have an idea. I want to launch it. Having to say no, focus on what you're doing right now has been key. So that's allowed me to double that. That's why I've been promoting, like, obviously Phoenix has been working a lot better, but, like, that's why I haven't focused on some of the other stuff that I had, because Phoenix is working. Let me go ahead and double down on that. But past that, like, I want to, you know, once the money continues to keep going right, I want to get into the VC world, investing into businesses. Hopefully by the end of the year, I'm getting into the cannabis business, because once that becomes legalized,
it's over.
So that's where the networking comes in, because, you know, it's not something that I was like, oh, I can buy my way in. The people who are in the cannabis industry that I know, it's a relationship. If I told them right now, I'll give you $100,000, let me in, they'll be like, if I was some random person, they'd be like, nah, I'm good.
That's a fact.
But because I have to build the relationship with them, they don't need the money. They say, all right, you can go in, we get a little bit of equity on the next door. Boom. Now I'm in the industry. Now I can see what's going on. And then once again, when things get interesting, like legalized, things are getting real interesting. So just becoming a massive investor. Like I said, one of the biggest things for me is, like, accumulating a lot of wealth, because it's not going to be for me. It's to help a lot of people, kids, people, you know, my parents are Nigerian. So, like, building a school out in Africa, you need capital to do that. You know, even out here, just being, like, for me, kids are our future, and a lot of adults, people might say this is rude, and most adults are a lost cause. That's why I focus on the kids. You can educate the kids, you can mold their minds to what they're doing. Because the problem is, here's the thing, if you have enough money to do anything that you want, you can try anything that you want. There is no limitation. The problem is, adults, they've been stuck to they don't have the money. They, you know, they have to work a job. So if a kid says, I want to be, you know, someone that builds flying cars, they was like, no, be realistic. What do you really want to do? No, if he wants to be a kid, he might be the person that was the one that does it. Mm-hmm. But because you put in your limitations on the kid, now what? No. Now he's doing something else. So I believe, like I said, the kids are the future, and to be in a space where money is not an issue will create a lot of modes of genius for a lot of people and make the world a better place.
Man, I love all that. And something that you just said, though, that resonated with me, you said saying no to things, especially when you have a lot going on like yourself. Like, people don't realize how powerful saying no is. Like the basketball coach, Bobby Knight, I think he wrote this book called The Power of No. Like, you have to be able to know when to say no and be bold enough to say no, because people gonna come at you from all angles with all kinds of shit. Hey, I got this investment opportunity. You may be in your lane, the ball rolling, fucking killing it, and all these different stuff come on. You say, oh, let me do this. And it might not be your niche. It might go down, and that kills the momentum. So you gotta know when to say no to shit. You know what I'm saying? Save your energy for what the fuck you do and what you do best.
Let's talk about that. So back into real estate. When you say knowing your niche, so in real estate, I've been invested in many things, short-term rentals, long-term rentals, flipping, buying off of auction, you know, almost anything you could do, you think of in real estate, I've at least tried it or have experienced at least doing something, some sort, even if in a minimal way. A lot of people, you can't do that. You have to figure out something that looks like you like and then just kind of like focus on that. And so for me, for example, with Airbnb, I have an Airbnb and it's been exhausting. And what I've learned is I don't like talking to people like that as far as like when issues and stuff come up. This is not my zone. And so for me, I would have Airbnbs, but I would have select Airbnbs in certain places. I would not build a whole fleet of like corporate leases or something like that because that's not my thing. Mm. I can make money. I know you can make great money in it, but I don't have the temperament for that. But someone else might, and that's where they can make their money. And so again, while something looks like it makes money, and it's hard.
Right.
It's hard because this. If you aren't where you want to be or you haven't made enough money somewhere else, you're anything that looks like it could make money, you're trying to jump at it. Mm-hmm. And but that's also how you end up losing a lot of money because what looks good most of the time isn't good.
The grass isn't always green.
What they call that? Shiny objects?
Shiny
objects.
And that was me. I'm talking to you guys from experience.
Damn, that's real, man. And that's... Man, did y'all have y'all had anything else that we didn't get the chance to go over? Did you want to go over?
I don't know. I mean, we're not plugging stuff in yet, right?
Not yet. What about you? Do you have some?
No, that was it for me. I would say, thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, this
was a great episode, and we're super, super proud of you. The growth is amazing. It's truly amazing.
It's been crazy. I was telling Ari, I'm seeing that circle of people that kind of 2018
is when it pretty much happened.
When everybody kind of connected, those people then. From where we was at in 2018 to now, in 3 years, the growth for everybody, seeing it firsthand, has been fucking phenomenal. Yeah. It's crazy. So that shit, like you said, Ben, salute to you, man. I'm super proud of you. And I'm happy we got to bring you back on for another episode.
Live in the studio.
We're going to do this again, man. Y'all, you got a question for him or something? You look like you want to ask something. That's what. Before you wrap up, bro, just my plug in all your stuff where people can find you, follow you by Limitless Pills, by Apple Cider Gummies, by everything, by books, clothes. You got every fucking thing. You gotta come to Mike and ask that.
How many, seriously, if you know the number, you can count it right here if you don't know. How many total businesses do you have, all together?
Businesses, I scale back down. I'll say businesses that, LLCs, I might say five that I have, and then three that I'm actively kind of working with.
Okay.
Because when you say businesses, LLCs, some stuff is just LLCs. Actively, I'll probably say three.
Okay.
I'll probably say three. So it would be Black Seed, Phoenix, and Zion
Beer Care. Wow.
Yeah.
And for everybody that's watching and listening, that was my little brother, the guy that's on the intro. Yes, that's not me on the intro. Everybody think that's me. That's my little brother on the intro. He's the one that's rapping the song. So shout out to him. But like I said, do you mind plugging all your stuff so people can find you, follow you, get products, everything?
Yeah, I'm probably going to forget some, but you can follow me on Instagram at Money Madu, Twitter at Real Money Madu. Got suspended. I think we talked about it. My account got because I had to talk to Jack one day. you can follow my pages. So on Instagram, Black Sea Group. Same thing with Twitter. Instagram, Phoenix Athletica, PHENYX Athletica on both Instagram and Twitter. If you are interested in purchasing any courses, you can go to blackseauniversity.com. I do consultations time where that talks about money and things of that nature. And you can find that at theblackseagroup.com/consulting. And then on top of that, with I will be launching phase two of a lot of products with Phoenix next week. So be on the lookout for that. I will also be releasing the Limitless Focus Group. By the time I think this launches, it'll be up and running. So it'll be a Discord community. Make sure you guys join. $50 to join initially, and then pretty much $10 a month after that. Then my race as the community becomes bigger. But, you know, starting off, like I said, it's going to be a lot of brainstorming sessions, master classes with people who are knowledgeable in the field, giveaways, early discounts, challenges and things of that nature in it. And so trying to have that community, because when you see companies like Lululemon, one of the things that you can realize is they have a cult-like following.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
And so when you're able to build that community, that's something that I want to do. Like, with Limitless Focus, it's gone crazy. Let's have this as a community. So limitlessfocusgroup.com. Like I said, just join the community in that aspect. And, you know, since we're on the Millionaire Mindset podcast, I want to go ahead and make sure, I'll probably say for at least the next month, if you use the code MINDSET, you'll get 20% off of all Phoenix Athletica supplements.
Uh-oh. Y'all, let me see. Oh. The code MINDSET. If you want some Limitless pills, right here. I'm going to show y'all right here. You want those Limitless pills? Hey, code MINDSET for the next, what do you say, next 30 days?
Yeah, we'll say the next month. Days.
Make sure
next
y'all
month.
Get that, man. All right, we so, really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, with that, like I said, going to do well, relaunch a lot of the apparel, you know, got to be a little bit of exclusive with it, a couple more commercials coming out. And I just appreciate everybody listening. If you, like I said, go ahead and follow me. I probably won't follow back, but it's all good. I will, if you ask a good question or whatever, I will respond. That's not a problem. I really do appreciate everybody. I appreciate you guys letting me come back on.
That was a no brainer, man. We had to have you back on, man. And for me, in wrapping up, you guys can find me, follow me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller, my Instagram, Twitter, my personal YouTube channel. Also, go to the Millionaire Mindset's YouTube channel and tap in. And D, what's her info?
Yep, and you can follow me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter, Deanna S. Kent, and you can follow me on YouTube at Lessons in Life and Luxury.
And that is all we have for you guys on another episode of Millionaire Mindset.
Since we talk about YouTube, I'm relaunching my YouTube channel. And so go follow me at Money Madu. I have my videographer here, so I'm doing a couple of day in the life. So, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, man, that's all we have for you guys on another episode of the Millionaire Mindset podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that that everybody voucher. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.